This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here, Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer, and talking now with Jim Comperoni, Spartan Mag. Jim, how you doing?
Hey, great to be with you. How you doing?
Good. Good to talk to you. So let's start now with Dane Fife getting hired at Michigan State. Exactly how long did it take Tom Izzo to make the decision to hire Fife after he got the application?
You know, I think Izzo has always had his eye on Dane Fife. I mean, they've had a great relationship. It's really unique. I mean, you know the story. Izzo recruited him back in 1998, and Dane Fife was one of Izzo's top recruiting targets early in his career, along with Mateen Cleaves and Shane Battier and probably Robert Traylor were probably like the four in succession that he was really going after. And that's when he was first getting it going. And, of course, the only one he got was Cleaves. But if Fife had come along 3 years later, I think Fife would have been a Spartan. He couldn't quite pull the trigger at that time. But it was strange watching Izzo coach against Fife, you know, for those 4 years when Fife was at Indiana, because they had a relationship back then. I remember one time there was a game when Dane Fife, like, was trying to save a ball out of bounds and fell down and, slipped and fell in front of the bench, and the ball goes out of bounds, the whistle. And Izzo, you know, leans over and helps him off the court. I mean, he's coaching against him, and he leans over and helps him off the court. I kind of made jokes with Izzo over the years that it was almost like Izzo continued to recruit Dane Fife for the next 13 or 14 years. They always clicked. And then when Fife got into coaching, Izzo has been one of his mentors. And then when an opening came open, it didn't take long for Izzo to realize that Fife was the guy he wanted. Once he realized that Fife was interested, and Izzo did tell me, he said, not only does Fife have all this experience and coaching ability, but Dane Fife was dying to come to Michigan State and be a part of the program. So it was a no-brainer for Izzo.
Jim, it's Scott here. What's the biggest thing that Dane Fife brings to the Michigan State program?
Wow, you know, there's a bunch of things, but the first thing that comes to mind is the appreciation for defense that Izzo shares with Dane Fife. You know, Dane Fife was, you know, best defensive player in the Big Ten.
Great defender. Absolutely.
Cornerstone player for that team from Indiana that went to the national title game in 2002, I think it was. And then when Michigan State has played IPFW a few times over the years, there's been some close games, and IPFW doesn't have nearly the talent that Michigan State does. And I don't remember the exact circumstances, but I remember coming out of one of those games one time and thinking to myself, man, Dane Fife was into Michigan State's playbook and had them scouted for this game. And that's the type of thing Izzo will be able to rely on, with Fife being a guy that is going to know defense first, help him with game plan, and put in those 18, 19-hour work nights when necessary. Izzo's going to be able to rely on him. He's going to be a confidant that he's known for 15 years. And then you get into the recruiting. I mean, Fife has a big name in Indiana, especially Northern Indiana, having played for the Hoosiers and coached in Fort Wayne. So the recruiting in Northern Indiana, where Michigan State likes to recruit a lot, is going to be big. And Fife also has a name in the state of Michigan, too. So the list can go on from there, but that's a good place to start when you know that you can trust a guy, you know his abilities, he can be a close confidant, you know that he shares the same outlook defensively, plus the recruiting. And here's the big thing. Izzo really likes to bring in guys from outside his program. He likes to keep things fresh and, you know, get kind of and start things anew. I remember way back when he hired Tom Crean, back in his first hire back in the late 90s, one thing that Izzo liked about Tom Crean was the fact that Crean had spent some time with Ralph Willard, and Willard had been an assistant for Rick Pitino. So even though Tom Crean had been in the Heathcote system and been part of the Michigan State lineage, Izzo likes the fact, among other things, that Crean had been exposed to the Pitino style of ball. He's going to like some of the things that Fife brings in. You know, Fife's an old motion offense guy from the Bob Knight School. You know, Izzo's a set play guy, but he likes to run a little bit of motion, especially early in the year, too, to get people loose and stuff. Izzo's going to be listening to Fife a lot also, just to get some freshness.
Jim Comperoni, SpartanMag.com with us. Jim, I look at Dane Fife, and he was in a pretty good situation at IPFW. Now he comes back to being an assistant coach. This seems like a one step back to take two step forwards type of move. Is there any worry that he could be out quicker than they want him to be, or what exactly is the motivation behind him coming to Michigan State?
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm sure they probably talked about that, and he's going to want to fight to stay in for the long haul. And when people leave Michigan State from that job, it's usually to an upper mid-major. Now, he's already coached at a low major. I would expect that Fife's going to be at Michigan State until he gets a major conference job. That's my thought there. They probably talked about that. I know Izzo likes his players to dream and work toward being an NBA player. I'm sure he talked to Fife and laid some things out and said, you know, no question about it, at some point you want to be a major conference guy. Having already coached at a low major, I think that Fife's resume is going to be stronger than, you know, Doug Wojcik's was, stronger than Brian Gregory's was, stronger than Tom Crean's was, or have been at similar periods. So when Fife gets back to that point where he wants to coach again, I think he can jump from the mid-majors and up to a major. I guess, you know, technically, I guess Marquette is a major these days. Back then, it was a high mid-major. Now it's a major conference program, of course. But, yeah, I don't see that happening anytime in the next near future. I mean, you know, Jim Boylan coached here for, what, 2 or 3 or 4 years? I would expect Fife to be here at least that long. I think he wants to try to help win a national title.
One last question about Dane Fife before we move on to football. You're talking about going to another major. Is it possible that he could stay at Michigan State and one day replace Tom Izzo?
That's always possible. I don't know how much longer Izzo wants to go. I don't think Izzo knows how much longer he wants to go. Izzo might say he wants to coach 6 more years, but knowing Izzo, he'll stick in it for 10. Whatever he says, he'll end up staying longer. That's my guess, just to abuse himself. And, you know, if Fife is still around at that time and they ever run into success, I'm sure he'll get looked at. That's way down the road. And, you know, who knows where other guys are going to be, like, you know, Gregory and Kareem and Wojcik and others and others that Michigan State people might have their eye on. But I don't know what the landscape's going to look like at that point. That's probably in the back of both of their minds, but they got work to do first.
Jim Comperoni, SpartanMag.com with us. Jim, let's move over to football. Spring game coming up in about a week. What storyline should we be looking forward to for the spring game?
You know, I think left tackle. You know, they need to get some things squared away there. The senior, Jared Magaha, has worked there as a first stringer for most of the spring and did okay, and he's gone inside and played some left guard and placed Joel Foreman and done okay. But for whatever reason, they moved Jared back to second-string left tackle and Dan France up to first-string left tackle for this past weekend and the scrimmage. No word yet on how Dan France played at left tackle. Dan France is kind of a very athletic, very promising, high upside, high potential project. Played defensive tackle last year, moved to offensive guard last December during bowl practice as an experiment, and the experiment looked really good. So then once they got out of winter conditioning, they moved him full-time to offensive line, began the spring at guard and right tackle, and then a week and a half later, we're told that Dan France had moved over to left tackle, second string left tackle. So when you have a project and he sticks, and then the next thing you know, he's at left tackle, it's something that we said on our podcast, something we do at Spartan Magazine, Spartan Plus Podcast. We said it last week. We said if he's still on offensive line, and not only that, he's at left tackle, they see something in him. This is an intriguing development that the second half of spring he had moved to left tackle. And then, lo and behold, last week we hear that Dan France had moved up to number one. Dan France, sophomore from Ohio. And Magaha is kind of back to being a utility guy for now. I mean, that competition is going to persist. But the point is, Dan France, with a lot of athletic ability, 6'6", they like his IQ. He's not ready to play right now. And frankly, offensive coordinator Dan Rochard told me, he said, hey, we are deficient. That's deficient. Deficient at left tackle right now. You know, he's not. That's a quote he gave to me exclusively with Spartan Magazine, SpartanMag.com, Spartan Plus. And he said, we have work to do. We have guys that can do it. But, you know, just because we moved Dan France in there doesn't mean he's ready to play this Saturday. He's got, you know, a week more practice now and a month in August. Meanwhile, junior college transfer Foe Finotti is going to be coming in at midsummer to compete also. So between Magaha, Finotti, and France, they're going to keep competing them and see who has the big summer. And summer is so important, especially for offensive linemen. I can remember DJ Young coming out of nowhere after a great summer. J. Michael Dean last summer had a great summer and a solid, productive season. That's what they're going to need out of Dan France to keep progressing. But they really like his upward cycle right now, and that's something that I'll be watching in the spring game, is how that left tackle looks.
What about linebacker? I know Chris Norman is the name that people recognize, but what's going to happen with the loss of Greg Jones and Eric Gordon?
Well, you know, Max Boa is a sophomore there, middle linebacker, and, you know, they're not asking Max Boa to just replace Greg Jones. They're challenging him to become a better player than Greg Jones was. Maybe not right away, but someday. He's a different type of player. He's got leadership ability. He's a real cerebral player. And Max Boa, I think, is going to be fine at middle linebacker. You know, as far as Gordon goes, I'll miss him a little bit. You know, all the starts he had, 4 years, a lot of ability. NFL scouts are learning now he's got freakish athletic ability that may not have shown up all the time, but he was solid and productive and durable. But Michigan State's replacing him with Chris Norman, who started last year at the slot linebacker position. They're moving Norman inside to Gordon's position. And Norman's got the ability to thump you a little bit. He can play hard. He's steadily progressing. He'll be a junior. And Norman's going to be fine. He has missed the spring with an elbow injury. He blew out his elbow in the bowl game. He's going to be fine in August, but he'll be moving inside. So the new linebacker in the fold is sophomore Danikos Allen, another kid out of Ohio, you know, about 5'11", 210, explosive athlete. Big, he was a former wrestler in high school. He's got some strength. So he'll be taking the position that Norman played last year. And I think it gives them a little more agility at that position. Norman was good. He could fly, good straight line speed, you know, long arms, could tackle and things like that. Danikos Allen, a little shorter, more compact, I think gives you quicker agility. And so the new names are Boa and Danikos Allen. Both are sophomores, and both have a lot of ability. Of course, they're going to be losing a lot of experience. But I think the program is to the point where they are able to reload at linebacker, at least with that first wave. Behind them, it's going to be youngsters, though. There's not a lot of depth, so those guys have to stay healthy.
Jim Comperoni, Spartan Mag. Jim, real quick before we let you go, you mentioned Max Boa. Is anything going to come of the whole situation in Colorado, any sort of suspensions or anything that you've heard of?
No, he already sat out some practices earlier in the spring, and... what was it? He ended up getting. I don't know.
I think he got probation or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think I haven't heard anything about him potentially having to sit out any of the season in the fall. I think that's it. He missed some practice early in the spring, but nothing that I've heard of.
Jim, one last thing from me. Who's one name that we haven't heard from yet at Michigan State that we will next year?
Well, you know, people that follow it closely are probably aware of Tony Lippitt, the redshirt freshman, plays wide receiver and corner, playmaking wide receiver. But, you know, they're pretty stacked at wide receiver right now, so they say he's going to play some corner also. They say he will play both ways. He won't start at either position, but at about 6'3", long-legged athlete, a lot of springs, really a unique talent. Keep your eye on Tony Lippitt, redshirt freshman out of Detroit. I believe he wears number 14. Check him out in the green-white game. Probably be going both ways that day also.
Jim, real quick, let us know a little bit about Spartan Mag and then about your podcast as well.
Yeah, you know, Spartan Magazine, been around since 1991. I've been with them since 1993, became owner and publisher back in about 2002. Spartan Magazine, 12 times a year. You can get it electronically also. And then for every day usage, there's SpartanMag.com. Just go to SpartanMag.com for information on all of it. As far as the podcasts go, that's part of something called Spartan Plus. It's an e-newsletter. It's for the people that are really have a Michigan State football sickness problem. They want to hear me and my guy Paul Conard. I talk about these things for about an hour and a half every week on the podcast. That's Spartan Plus. But go to SpartanMag.com. That's the intersection for all of it. SpartanMag.com.
All right, Jim, we appreciate it. Good stuff. Enjoy the holiday weekend.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Jim Comperoni, SpartanMag.com. When we come back, we got our fantasy baseball picks. It's weekend kickoff, 1320 WILS.